The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for any human being. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, the judge refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for human being, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord.
Today's Gospel presents us with another parable from St. Luke, and it is a remarkable parable. It's one I'm sure you're all familiar with, and you can tell me the point of the story immediately. Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. This is the only time that St. Luke tells us what the meaning of a parable is before he recounts our Lord's story. And it's one of three that St. Luke only records and which speak of prayer. The other two are the persistent friend who knocks at the door late at night, this one, the persistent widow, and the Pharisee and the publican who go up to the temple to pray. Now, the story is clear and obvious. There is a judge and there's a woman who asks for justice. But what's different about this story is that it's actually a humorous story. It's a funny story. We don't often think of our Lord being funny or humorous, but actually, many times, Jesus is speaking humorously. It just doesn't always get translated in the proper fashion. And that's the case with today. Now, in the Old Testament, God was often described as a judge. But the judge in today's story isn't like God. He's a bad judge. He has no respect for God, he does not fear God, and he has no respect for people. So he's a self-interested judge. And the woman who comes to him asking for justice persists. But finally, the judge says, though I have no fear of God and I have no respect for anyone, I will give justice to this widow because she keeps bothering me. Now, we can take that from that, the lesson that our Lord wants us to understand. If this bad judge finally gives justice to this woman, then won't Almighty God, who loves us and who is all good, finally give justice to us and hear our prayers? Now that would be enough for us as a lesson, but that's not all that our Lord says. If you look at the Greek, the old lady who comes asking for justice actually doesn't ask for justice. She asks for revenge. This is not a sweet old lady. I want revenge against my opponent, and I want you to give it to me. And the judge is reluctant. But finally he says, even though I have no respect for God or for people, I'd better give this woman what she wants, because if I don't, she might give me a black eye. That's actually what our Lord says. That's what the Greek says. She might give me a black eye. So Jesus tells a story which is funny to make the point. If bad people give bad things to other bad people, won't God, who is good, give good things to you when you ask him properly? So keep praying. But then Jesus says something at the very end which should make a stop. He says, but when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on the earth? Now, the expression Son of Man refers to Jesus himself. When I return, which means when I come in my glory, when I come to give justice, to reward the good and to punish the evil, will there be any faith on the earth? Now, that question should pierce our hearts, because all of us sitting here today, all of you, and certainly myself, we all know that there are our family members whom we love, and countless other people besides, who have given up all religious practice, who seem to have no faith, who live as if this life were everything, and in their pursuit of happiness, they make more and more mistakes, life becomes more and more complicated, and they become consumed by emptiness. Emptiness that threatens to swallow them up too. Some of us have experienced that same emptiness and have come back from the brink. But we all know that there are many who are still in that darkness, and everything seems to be getting worse and worse. We pray for them. We try to give good example. But perhaps most of all, we worry. And what Jesus says is, pray. Pray constantly. Pray with trust. Now, if we go to the first reading, because as I've said to you, the first reading is always linked to the gospel, you'll see there a very interesting scene that you might not be able to link up quite the way you should yet. It comes from the Old Testament. The Jews have left Egypt. They have crossed through the Red Sea. They're on their way to the Promised Land. And between them and the Promised Land is the territory of a people called Amalekites. And the Amalekites don't want the Jews to cross through their land. And so they go to war against Israel. And Moses climbs up a hillside where he can be seen, and he begins to pray to God there for victory. And he lifts up his hands in prayer. And as long as he's praying, and Israel can see him praying, the Jews win. But when his arms grow tired and he lowers them, Israel begins to suffer defeats. So two of his assistants, Aaron and Hur, stand at his side, and they hold up his arms. And they hold up his arms all day. They put a stone behind him so that he can sit down, but they hold up his arms and they help him to pray. And Israel wins the battle. Now, when the first Christians read that passage, they were very struck by it. And they said, this isn't just something from history. This isn't simply something that happened to the Jews a long time ago. This is something for us today. And already, in the second century, a man we call St. Justin the Martyr, one of the first Christian writers whose writings have been preserved to us, he died in about the year 130 in Rome. Justin said, Moses with his arms out is an image of Jesus on the cross. Jesus stretches out his arms so that we have the victory. Jesus stretches out his arms so that we conquer sin and death in him and through him. And now, in heaven, he's always lifting up his hands before the Father, who sees the wounds and is merciful to us day after day, year after year. And that mercy comes to us through the Mass, where Christ is once again lifted up, his offering is renewed, and his mercy is applied to us today. Already, within 100 years of Jesus' death, people understood that. Simple people who didn't have any of the opportunities that you and I have to learn the faith, to learn about the faith from others who've gone before us or from books. Justin the Martyr didn't have that, but he understood, and he left his understanding to us so that today, almost 1900 years later, we could be strengthened, you and I, and learn that we should be praying always, trusting constantly, hoping for what is best, and doing our part for our sake and for the sake of others whom we love. We can take comfort from the fact that the same Savior who stretches out his arms on the cross could teach with a funny story that could make us smile so many centuries later and help us to trust him so that we can renew our efforts to do our best. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.